So this is going to be a class on our entertainment choices. I want to just take a minute to summarize what I'm hoping we can accomplish this morning together. I want to start just by exploring why entertainment is a relevant topic for us, and then want to clarify our disposition toward entertainment. I would assume in a room with this many people, we're going to have different orientation, different disposition to the whole topic as a whole. I want us to spend a little bit of time working on a definition of entertainment. Like, what are we talking about? Do we know what we're talking about when we invoke the term entertainment? And then finally, I want to begin to look at how the Bible addresses entertainment, if it does at all. So that'll be a question that we'll be looking at. So with that, let's explore why entertainment might be a relevant topic worthy of your time and attention for these next 5 weeks. So provide in your notes some statistics that I asked Google to pull up for me. So just look at these, and they really talk about the role of entertainment in American society. And so just want you to try and honestly ask the question, is this cause for concern, or is it just kind of a reality of living in the digital age, right? So here, let's just look at media first. Interesting, the average American watches 3.5 hours of television a day. 87% of American households have at least one streaming service subscription, with the average household subscribing to 3.6 services. I don't know if that involves just video streaming or if it also would be music streaming, but I don't know. What's your average? We have Amazon Prime, so that's a streaming service. My Verizon subscription also comes with a bundled thing that includes Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN, the sort of the watered-down versions, you know, where you can't watch any of the games that you want to watch, but you can watch the ones that you don't want to watch. That's the version they give you for free. So I don't know. I mean, so technically, I'm probably above average when it comes to that. I do have a Pandora account, which is for music-related stuff. My wife prefers Spotify. So anyway, I don't know. Anyone want to volunteer? What's your average streaming subscription? Any ideas? What are you guys subscribed to?
No, I don't want to think about it.
Nobody wants to talk about that? Okay. I'm going to guess that some of you have Netflix accounts, if not Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, some kind of a TiVo or Hulu or something that sort of gets you broad access to TV shows. So anyway, the vast majority of Americans certainly do avail themselves of that. Interesting, it says on average, Americans listen to 3.5 hours of music per day. I'm below average on that, I guess, because I don't usually have time to just listen to music in and of itself. Video games, 70% of American households have at least one video game console. Well over half of Americans play video games regularly. On average, someone who considers himself a gamer spends 6.5 hours plus per week playing video games. I would guess that's on the low side, actually, from people I know in the gaming community. Well, let's look at teens. So this is interesting. Those 13, 18 years old, daily screen time, over 8.5 hours, with TV and videos making up most of that, over 3 hours. Social media, almost 2 hours a day on TikTok, and over an hour on Snapchat. So those two apps alone are garnering three plus hours. And then when you move into the young adults sphere, it gets a little bit better, but there's a shift, interestingly enough. So 7.5 hours of daily screen time. They are doing a little bit less on social media, but they're watching more video streaming. So 5 hours, almost 5.5 hours of streaming content per day. And I'm thinking, when do these people sleep? You know. So, but you know what? In all truth, so I'm an office manager at the Chamber of Commerce in Red Bluff, and and I also do all of the bookkeeping as part of that position. So almost everything that I do in my office has a digital component. I'm staring at a computer 8.5 hours a day, just from work, basically. I come home, I read the news, I do study on a class I might be teaching, that adds up. It could be well over 10 or 12 hours a day that I've got some kind of digital thing in front of my face regularly, right? Okay, so we can sort of look at the stats and say, what's wrong with those people? But, you know, that's kind of my world where I live. And some of you might not have a work environment where you have a digital device in front of you all the time, but some of you certainly do, and so the hours kind of add up. So with that, cause for concern, just part of being the digital age, what are your thoughts?
Depends on why you're using it.
Okay, so it would depend, all right? So there's some work-related things I'm assuming you're speaking to, and then there's just stuff that's not essential. Okay, good. Any other thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm concerned of what it's doing to our ability to communicate with each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So if you've got a device in front of you all the time, how is that impacting our ability to like relate and communicate with people in real world, real time kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say it's hugely concerning. And I think Kelly and I lament the two S's in our parenting, which is screens and sugar.
Oh, okay. All right.
For any parents of kids that are teens, you know, and up, or, you know, that 6 to 18 range, I mean, our generation of parenting is consumed by trying to keep our kids off screens, password protect this, they find out the password, they guess it, set the password, you put the parent control on here. I mean, it's just never ending. It's crazy. So,
yeah.
And we do it because there's so much that they're getting fed through the media they're consuming, and truths that they're finding truth in things outside of our sort of influence or outside the Bible's influence. And so, anyway, yeah, it's a huge.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Kelly.
Well, I'll just add to that you know, our kids go to public school, and we're big supporters of public school. I work in the public school system, but the public school system is leaning very heavily. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is the world. But, you know, our kids don't have any devices, they don't have laptops, they don't have access to a computer, but our seventh grader comes home and says, well, I have to log on to Google Classroom because that's where all my homework is. And so she said, what do you want me to do? I can't do my homework unless you let me on a computer. And so, okay. Like Jeremy's saying, as parents, it feels impossible to try to regulate this and balance it with the schools.
Great, yeah. So, great comment. That's that is the next point that I really wanted to press into a little bit. So thank you, Kelly. Here's the deal. So, basically comment on parenting. If you're a parent with kids of any age, that adds a whole level of complexity and challenge to it, doesn't it? Because you're not just trying to manage your own life, but then you've got these other lives that are being heavily influenced in things. And as Kelly said, it's not just an issue of choices that you can make, but entertainment and screens and digital interface is so ubiquitous in our lives and our environments. It's like you can't really do school in a public school setting without some expectation that you're going to be logging onto a computer in some shape or form, right? So most of us don't have the option of just saying no, not gonna go there, not gonna engage digitally, right? Because in one form or another, there are heavy expectations in our current context that we're gonna have a screen in front of us. There's gonna be something going on in that regard. With that, let's talk for a minute about some of the reasons that entertainment or the topic of entertainment can be controversial, especially in a Christian context, right? So I've listed a number of things there, just going to go over them briefly, but mark the ones that you think are the most pressing or challenging for you in your context. There's the whole question of the moral and ethical content. So there are disagreements about what's acceptable in various forms of entertainment, what's acceptable level of nudity, violence, language. I mean, we can talk about a lot of that stuff. There's questions about the influence on behavior and attitudes, even controversy, like, you've probably heard quotes of studies coming out saying, well, there's no connection between people playing first-person shooter games and violence in the real world. And so is that true? Is there a connection between what we're watching and what we're doing in video games and how we actually live in the real world? And so there's some controversy there. Questions over Christian freedom. So we have Christian freedom, but is there a standard, a moral standard that all Christians should be expected to live up to? And so that becomes a question. We've talked a little bit about parental concerns, right? So, what's age-appropriate conduct? I can remember when our kids were from, let's say, age 8 to 18, probably a little younger than that, 16, they would frequently get invited over to birthday parties or various things, and part of the repertoire of what was going to happen at these parties was some kind of a movie, right? Or even in school. A few times we had this awkward situation where the whole class was watching a movie that we didn't think was appropriate for our kids to watch. And so our kids had to, be taken out of the context of their class and do something else, whatever, because we didn't have them participate in that particular movie or content that was being covered. So for parenting, there's controversy. Some of your best friends want to show a movie, and you're not ready to have your kids watch that movie, so do they go to your friend's birthday party or not? Do they participate in that class activity with all their classmates or not? So that can stir some controversy and conflict. The whole question of cultural relevance versus separation, how much should we be engaged with what's happening in our culture, which involves entertainment and the arts, and how much should we say, hey, we're not a secular people, we are the people of God, and so we need to keep ourselves separate. And so there's some conflict there, some difference of opinion about how Christians should be relating to the whole secular environment in general, and more particularly with the entertainment that's being served up, especially from secular sources. And even beyond that, how much should Christians engage in those forms of entertainment? How much should we be participating in creating content that's similar to what secular sources are doing? Not everyone agrees on, not all Christians agree on exactly how we are supposed to navigate that. In many ways, this is part of all of it. Let me see if I can get caught up with where we're at in the slide show. So theological differences come into play. So depending on a church's stance on the issues of the LGBT movement, not just whether it's valid or not, but how should we as Christians relate to those who are part of that lifestyle? Should we shun them? Should we, bring them into our midst? If there is a character or an actor who's in a movie that is portraying that, is that off limits or not? So there are some theological differences that come into play. Talked about, secular music and art. Should we even be availing ourselves of anything that is not generated, created by Christians? That's a theological question. Portrayals of Jesus. Should we go to a movie in which the Son of God is being portrayed as a person when the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to create an image that represents God? So we would affirm that Jesus is not just a man, but he's God. He's the eternal Son of God. So is that breaking the commandment to not have any images of God? And so that's a theological issue that people have differences on that can cause some controversy. Anything else you can think of that is controversial about the topic of entertainment among Christians? Anything you would add? Qualify? All right. Well, we'll just keep moving on. But again, the issue is wherever we turn, most of us, in many contexts of our lives, we're confronted with this everywhere we go. So the question isn't if, but how. How are we going to engage? How are we going to address? How are we going to relate to all of the entertainment choices that are put in front of us? Well, let's spend a few minutes talking about our disposition toward entertainment. So I've put five different options there for you to think about, and it's not perfectly aligned and defined, but try and think which one would you most identify with in this list. So we have the positive engager who views entertainment as a way to relax, enjoy creativity, find inspiration, sees value in finding positive and uplifting content in entertaining entertainment options. So that's one person kind of is pretty much very positive about the value of entertainment in life. Then you've got the moderation advocate. So they believe in enjoying entertainment, moderation, but got to balance that with other aspects of life and important aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, our spiritual formation, development. And so that's kind of some people would fall into that category. Then you've got the selective participant. They adopt a more selective approach. They're more careful in choosing the entertainment, that they want to make sure that their entertainment options align with their beliefs and values, right? And so that's going to be something that they're going to emphasize, and they're going to seek to avoid content that conflicts with their convictions. Then you have the cautious skeptic who approaches entertainment with a level of caution, kind of skeptical about content that contradicts their beliefs and values, their faith. So they're really going to be asking the question, what's this movie really trying to say? What's it really getting at? What's the message that is being promoted in this? And is that something that aligns with my beliefs and values or not? And if it's not, then I'm not going to ingest it as something that is good for me. Some would probably fall more into the category of an avid abstainer, where basically you're saying, hey, there's so much corruption, there's so much sin and godlessness emphasized in this particular form of entertainment that I'm just not going there, just not even going to participate in that, more of a wholesale abstainer of particular aspects of entertainment or forms of entertainment. Any sense of where you might fall into this? Anyone want to share? Go ahead. Oh, get Calvin first.
As you started out, I really thought I was pretty positive engager type-oriented, then kept...
Okay. I kept pushing you down the ladder, huh? Get down there where you belong.
Not quite an avid abstainer, but I would say in general, selective participant, being aware of what is I'm putting into my mind and into the mind of my kids, trying to really evaluate that it is, in general, good stuff, not necessarily always Christian, but that it is of high caliber.
Okay.
It seems to become more and more important as I've gotten older.
Okay, all right. So in 5 minutes, we went to positive engager to more selective participant. That's transformation. Not going to comment on whether it's good or bad. We're not there yet, but yeah, go ahead.
I think positive engager, but I think it would, I don't know what we're defining entertainment as. Does it include board games?
Oh, great question. Yeah, we're going to try and get there, so good.
I don't know.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Positive engager and what we're selective about participating in.
Okay, all right. So you want to wear both of those hats? Okay. All right. If I had an icon, we should put the glasses over the heart eyes there, and that would probably work for you. All right, let's make it more fun. Where would you guys peg me? Like, where do you think I fall?
Perfection.
Glad someone's seeing the light. Man. Well, let's back up here. No, that's not right. Anyone else?
Cautious skeptic.
Okay, good.
Moderate advocate.
A moderate advocate, okay. We're missing one. Nobody has said I'm an avid abstainer yet. No one's called me a selective participant.
Selective participant.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Answer.
Anyone think I'm a...
Have we offended you yet?
I think that I probably right now fall somewhere in between a moderation advocate and a selective participant. I would have probably 10 years ago leaned more toward cautious skeptic and selective participant, okay? And so one of the questions that I'm honestly asking myself and want to try and be transparent with you about is that shift an issue of drift that's unhealthy, or is it growth and maturity? And I'm honestly asking the question, God, help me to know if I'm becoming more mature in my outlook on entertainment, or am I drifting? Or both. You know, I think it could be both in different realms. So that's kind of where I'm at this point. So I think it's helpful if we can be self-aware of our own disposition toward entertainment, both just to kind of know this is the lens that I'm making decisions on and evaluating various entertainment opportunities. But I also think it's helpful if you're aware of your own disposition to also become aware of other people around you and their disposition so that you can have a fruitful conversation with them. By knowing kind of this is where you're coming from. Oh, sounds like they're probably coming from here, and so that's why they're speaking to this issue in this way. I think that can be helpful for us as a believing community. Well, let's move on, and I want to spend just a few minutes talking about this class and what I'm hoping we'll get out of it. And so maybe just note what interests you most about this class and what you hope to get out of it. So a little bit more on the personal context. I've already spoken to the fact that currently I'm in a context where a screen is in front of me a lot, many hours of the day. Some of that is devoted to work purposes, some of that's devoted to ministry and preparing for teaching, but some of that is just reading news on the Ukraine war, or what's going on in Europe, or what's happening with the economy, or, what do we do, how do we buy a car? You know, our van is dying, and so we got to buy a car, and so that involves, you know, getting on those sites and saying, okay, how much is this car worth, and how much is it going to cost, and where are you going to find it, and how far are you going to drive, and so that's time. But as a family, especially when we had kids in the home, typically we have a Friday night pizza and movie night. So that's part of what we did as a family gathering. And we cared about watching movies that were going to be good and God-honoring. And I can remember, sitting down on my computer trying to find something that met the bar for us, right? And sometimes I'd spend an hour or an hour and a half trying to find something that we hadn't already watched 10 times, right? So that it would be something new, but just coming away feeling frustrated, and drained of the energy that took it. And then a family of five, we all have different tastes. Some of us like comedy, some of us like more history and, you know, reality, action, some of us like animated movies, some of us don't like animated movies, and so it's like, you know, challenging to want to direct us in a way that was healthy and good for our family, but feeling like, man, I just don't know what some good options are. We have an Amazon Prime subscription. I do watch movies. I've watched a rated R movie. I've watched Schindler's List, which is a rated R movie, very violent. I did pray about that. It's like normally we're not going there. We don't watch that kind of stuff. But I felt like I wanted to get a sense of what happened during the Holocaust and World War II so that my conscience would be sensitive to what happened there so that I don't contribute to the same kind of mentality or passivity in our society that led to what happened in Europe in the 1930s and 40s. So I've watched some content, and probably, you know, I lost some of you already. You hear that, and it's like, well, no cred from this guy, right? Because he watched a radar movie. There have been two occasions, once when I was a teenager and once when I was overseas as a missionary. I've been in two occasions where I felt like I was trapped in a context where there was some very explicit sexual content that was being viewed, and I didn't feel like I could get out. And to this day, those images are in my mind, right? Decades since those happened. There have been times when we have referred people to a movie and found out otherwise that there was a scene in it that we forgot. It's like, oh, do we really recommend that movie? We used to use a service called ClearPlay that would kind of edit out a lot of stuff so that, you know, if there was a movie that maybe had one scene that we didn't want to view, we knew that we could just kick that out. But then if we referred other people to that movie, it's like, oh, yeah, that was in there, you know? Or sometimes you just forget. We're on the fast forward button, you know? And so sometimes we just wouldn't even realize that that was there. There are times when my family, we have lingered too long on content. It's like you start a movie and you're hoping, okay, this is not going to stay like this. They're going to get past this and get to more moderated content. And you're in it 15 minutes, a half hour, and you're like, we just feel like, if I can be crass for a minute, we're being crapped on, you know? And yet here we are, letting that happen. So I've been there, right? I've had that feeling of like, you know, didn't disengage from that. So the reason I say all of that is because in my experience, many of you have also been there, or are there, right? You have that same stuff going on, and so the question is, what are we going to do to move in a direction where the choices we're making about entertainment are honoring to God, are in alignment with us seeking to live lives that are worthy of the calling of our Lord that he's given to us. That's what I'm hoping that we can pursue. So this class is aims to guide us in navigating the complex landscape. I do think it's complex. Of entertainment within the context of our Christian faith so that we live out our calling to honor God in all of life. So just quickly then, some things that I hope we'll accomplish in our time together. First, and you shouldn't start with a not. This is not what we're doing, but I wanted to say it. My goal is not for us to work at establishing a list of do's and don'ts. Like, this is what you, as a Christian, you should do, and this is what you shouldn't do. Here's the list of movies you can watch, and here's the list of movies you can't watch. Now, I'm a list guy. I like lists. Lists make me feel happy, right? I like to check off the list and get stuff done. I like the parameters of knowing this is what you can do and you can't do. But I think for the purposes of our class and the purposes of growing, we need more than just do's and don'ts and lists. And so that's not what we're going to be pursuing in our time together. I do hope that this class will serve to equip us with better grasp of entertainment's influence in our lives more generally. So some people may overemphasize influence of entertainment in their environment, but some, maybe even many, just sort of underemphasize it or oblivious to the fact that they're being influenced by their entertainment choices. I hope that we can provide a biblical framework for entertainment choices. For me, the bottom line is we want to know what God has to say about our lives and how we govern our lives with respect to this thing, which we can't avoid. It is part of our life, so what does God have to say about how we should do it? I hope to offer some practical tools for God-honoring entertainment decisions. You know, And I don't know what all of these are yet, but you can go. There are websites that help do reviews of movies. There are software that you can get on your phones and your laptops that block out some of the ads or even keep you from going to sites that you don't want to be going to. So there are some tools. Are there some things that we can be doing as a community to help us be more effective and win with the goals that we've set for our lives with regard to this? So I hope that we can do that. And then finally, I hope that we can facilitate or this class will facilitate mutually beneficial discussions. And what I'm aiming at there is, as you all are aware, the last 5+ years, discourse has become more and more polarized and more polemic. We fight one another rather than listen to one another and hear what one another have to say. And sometimes conversations about entertainment are really that. We're really just fighting to win our point, and we're not listening well, and so we're not learning why other people would have a different opinion on the subject than I would. And that doesn't mean that I agree with them or even need to agree with them, but I might learn and even strengthen my own understanding of why I'm where I'm at because I've learned to have conversations. Or sometimes we know that there's so much controversy loaded in that between us and our kids or our relatives or our pastor that we just don't go there. We don't want to take the risk of talking about what kinds of games I'm really playing, what kinds of movies I'm really watching, how much time I'm really spending in this, right? Because that could be controversial, and we don't want to get involved in that kind of conflict or controversy. And I hope that just spending time together looking at this will help us to listen better and discuss these things and ultimately be stronger followers of Jesus because we've learned to engage in this in a more healthy way. So that's what I'm hoping we can do in this class. Any what interests you as I kind of laid out, well, this is what I hope to do. What do you think might be valuable? Any questions about what that would involve?
I think something you mentioned is particularly important. I think there's a lot of shame surrounding our guilt over the way that we spend our time while recognizing that it's oftentimes in direct conflict with what we know how we're supposed to be pursuing, what God is calling us to do, whether it's evangelism or serving our families or whatever. And I think that is something that can lead us to kind of hide or mask the amount of time or the level of addiction or the type of shows or whatever it might be that we watch or subject ourselves to. So I think your point of humbling ourselves and recognizing that removing the shame element and being willing to have that discussion for the purpose of understanding a proper place for it in our life. In service to God.
So let me just summarize for those of you who might not have heard as well. So Ben is saying that sometimes the shame or guilt that we bear for either past decisions or current situation that we're in can be so great that we don't actually talk to anybody about where we're at, and so therefore we live in isolation and we don't get the constructive input and help and encouragement we need to grow. And so hopefully this class would serve to help those of us who are kind of in that space that can be very dark and lonely can help us connect with people and take hold of some resources with other people that will help us move out of that place of shame and darkness into a more healthy place. Good. Anything else come to mind? What interests you, concerns you?
Kind of related to Ben's point, the humbling part, I guess I'm wanting to approach this class and everyone will also approach it the same way with humility, trying to figure out, okay, where am I at and what does God's word say and how can I come into alignment with that? What I'm interested in, I think, is kind of, it's not a core issue or a tenet of Christianity, but it is something that we could strive for better unity within the body. So that we can have an impact on our culture and entertainment together. I mean, each one of us individually making our own choices together in the same general direction oriented.
Good.
That could be powerful.
All right. So there could be some real benefit, rather than us, because we know we have differences of opinion, we just don't talk or we don't, you know, have any unity at all. There could be some benefit to the church and to the community at large if we came to some agreement on what is healthy and good and what we should be promoting and pursuing among ourselves and in our community. I mean, do we have an alternative? Do we have anything to offer to our community that's just stuck in all of the darkness and the violence and pornography and all the things and dispositions toward marriage and how it's a thing of the past? And so, do we have anything to offer? Can we agree that there's a better alternative? And would that serve our church well, and would it serve our community well if we had at least found where the common ground is that we can press forward in? Yeah, good. Well, I want to encourage you to keep thinking about that. What do you want God to do in your life through this time that we're going to spend together? And even be asking God to show you what that is and praying that he would make it happen. Because at the end of the day, it's not primarily about what I say up here or our conversation, though I believe God can and will use that. It's primarily about what the Spirit of God does in you by his power to bring about transformation. So be praying about that. Well, let's move on and see if we can come to some understanding of what is entertainment. I want you to look at that list of really table of activities and think, which ones would you put in the category of entertainment or non-entertainment? Okay, so we've got watching football on TV, reading news on the internet, writing a letter, skiing at Mount Shasta, eating out for dinner, touring Christmas lights, maybe last month some of you did that, reading a novel, a weekend camping trip, meeting a friend for coffee, playing a video game, watching a webinar on investing, going to a music performance, taking a class on photography, playing a board game with family, viewing a friend's TikTok video. So I get a sense, did you put some E's and N's next to some of those boxes? What would you categorize where? So the question I want us to ask is, on what basis do you put something in the entertainment box versus the non-entertainment box? How do you make that difference? Go ahead, Ben.
I think it's difficult. I can make an argument for any one of those being entertainment. I would hope that even a restaurant, you go to a Japanese steakhouse and that's dinner and a show.
Okay. So depending on where you eat. Now, Burger King, on the other hand.
Have you seen little kids in all of it?
Okay. So Ben's got, yes, that can be entertainment. Thank you for reminding me of the entertainment our kids would offer us at Burger King many years ago. Okay. So Ben's got E's next to all of his, maybe, in some cases. How did you guys make that distinction?
I would say it's whether you're participating in something or you're just observing it. For me, if I'm on a weekend camping trip, I'm active, I'm socializing, I'm talking, I'm doing all these different things. It's not so entertainment. But if I'm sitting and consuming, like observing, I would qualify those more as entertainment.
Okay, great. Yeah. So just difference between if you're more actively participating, engaged in something versus a more passive something that's coming at you might be a good distinction. Yeah, Paige.
I was thinking kind of along the same line, like a lot of them, it's just consume, like what you're taking in, and others are like about building relationships. And yet, a family would sit down to watch a football game, and that is like a group thing that they're doing to build relationships.
Yeah.
So it's kind of.
And sometimes it's building relationships, and sometimes it's bruising relationships, depending on who wins. But yeah, I agree. Okay, Des?
It's funny, I was kind of looking at the whole list, and I think everything except for the webinar on investing or writing a letter, everything else is entertainment to me. So I look at it more as like, is it work or not work? It's more from a budget perspective, not the budget for the house. Everything else goes.
Good if I can get this out of the entertainment budget, I'm free to do it. But if it falls in the entertainment budget, I've only got $20 a month. So we gotta. Good observations. I think the distinction often comes down to considering what the primary purpose, the intent, and the impact of an activity is. Is it to provide enjoyment, amusement, or pleasure versus is it being done for learning or work or personal development or essential needs? So that would be one thing. Often entertainment is geared at provoking an emotional response. So it wants you to experience joy, happiness, elation, something like that, whereas a lot of things we do aren't necessarily geared toward that, even if they might lend themselves to that. Often these are voluntary choices versus something mandatory that we have to do. So let's look at one more layer of this. How would you distinguish between entertainment and recreation? Or would you? Or are those just the same?
Passive.
I like someone's definition over here. You know, are you active or are you passive?
Okay, yeah. So at least you're making the point.
Being active and entertainment being passive.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So that would be one way, the active-passive component. Any other thoughts?
So things can move between them, it seems like. So viewing a friend's TikTok video, that could be a passive activity. But if the person said it's a friend, and you're engaging with them and maybe critiquing the video or something like that, commenting on it.
Okay.
There's an active participatory piece. It's recreational.
Yeah, okay. So there are some things that can have a more active engagement, like if we're wanting to see what's going on in a friend's life by looking at their TikTok account or Facebook, we might be in more engaged and actively there. Yeah.
I mean, even just in the root of the word recreation, usually is for the purpose of like you're producing or making something of an end result, whereas entertaining or consuming.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're resulting in the creation of a skill set or a product or something along those lines.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So what's the outcome? Are you developing as a person? Are you gaining a skill? Are you learning something? Often those can impact whether or not we'll put them in the entertainment category versus recreation or something else. Well, let's look at this working definition. So I'm saying it's a diverse range of activities, experiences, or content designed specifically to engage and amuse individuals, eliciting enjoyment, pleasure, or satisfaction. So, any thoughts on that? Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I have a wider definition of entertainment than what a lot of people are saying. If you're just taking in content and not engaging with it, but if you're taking it in, you're engaging with it.
Okay.
You're finding it funny or making you think other thoughts, and I don't know. I don't think necessarily. The way that I feel like people are trying to say is entertainment is bad.
Yep.
But I think entertainment is good because, you're playing a board game with your family that is just basically to enjoy, but you're enjoying being together.
Okay. All right. So it's maybe too narrow, and because of its narrowness, could be more negatively focused.
You can enjoy learning about history, so is that now not, you shouldn't do that?
You just crossed it in. It goes into the entertainment box now. Yeah. You did it. No more. Put it in that budget box. I'm not entirely satisfied with this definition yet, and I may need to continue reworking it, but at least it gives us something to work on. For this class, we will be focusing more on the passive coming at you forms of entertainment versus the recreational stuff that you're going out and doing. Not that I'm trying to enforce a hard line between those, but I think for the benefit of us, we're going to focus more on that aspect of things. With that, recognizing that there are implications for some of our other entertainment choices that may be more recreational or proactive. But our conversation is going to center more on that because I think that's a more pressing issue in some ways and so ubiquitous in what our culture thinks of as entertainment and is pressing at us. Okay, so for the last couple minutes that we have together here then, want to begin to look at whether the Bible addresses entertainment. So can you think of any examples where entertainment is mentioned in the Bible?
Ecclesiastes is like, you know, enjoy your life, all the days of your vain life.
Okay, there's a positive example. Your life is vain, so eat, drink, and be merry, for soon we shall die. Okay, something like that. Okay, good? Yeah.
Not specifically, it doesn't say entertainment, but the, you know, whatever's true, noble, praiseworthy of anything is excellent. Worthy of praise. Think about these things, so what are you putting into your mind?
Okay, so there are some verses about what you think about. Matt?
Like throughout a couple spots in Revelation, discussions about, you know, the joys of what the new heavens and new earth is going to be like, so that kind of...
Okay.
Entertainment.
All right. So the new heavens and the earth could be put in a box that we call entertainment because of how good it's going to be. Okay. Well, let me just raise a couple of places. So Samson, when he is taken captive by the Philistines, you'll remember, is brought into the colonnade to what? Entertain them. Right? Essentially, they want this big, strong man to entertain them, and ultimately he pushes out the pillars, and they all perish. But that's a reference to entertainment, so there's got to be some help there for us. We'll think about that. There are multiple references to feasts and parties that people put on regularly. Jesus attended parties, and also frequently spoke about the motives and intentions of people that are both putting on those parties and attending those parties. And so he clearly saw a moral component of what was happening and who was being invited to those parties or not. Okay, so let's make a list. So I guess my point is, if you're just doing a word search on entertainment, your options are limited in terms of what you're going to find in the Bible. So I think we have to look a little bit differently if we want to say, what does the Bible have to say about entertainment? And so let's ask the question, what are people doing when they engage in entertainment? Okay, so you got your notes there. Can you think of what's involved when people are taking in entertainment content? What are they doing? Any thoughts?
Drinking.
They're drinking? Who said that? Susan. I'm shocked. No, she's right. Okay, so in terms of biblical context, when people party, they often have wine and drink there. Okay, fair. The weddings of Cana, right. And then we've got the Jesus thing there, right? Okay, so we might talk about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Music and dancing.
Music and dancing can be part of it. Okay, what else?
Relaxing.
I heard laughter, I think. Yeah, okay, what else?
Relaxing.
Okay. What?
Worship.
Okay. So let's think about what parts of the body are involved.
Eyes.
Okay, good. What else? Brenda.
I was going to say hands. You're cheering, you're clapping.
Okay. Yeah, often it'll involve your hands on buttons, or if you're thinking about dance or doing something else. Matt?
Our mouth.
Okay. Yeah, often we are saying, cheering, doing something. What else?
Our mind.
Some of us engage our minds when we're being entertained. Anything else? Kind of missing one other key component that we haven't said. There we go. Got some point to the ear here.
Adrenaline.
Okay. I was trying to think, like, okay, yes, that's involved, but we don't like say, okay, I'm gonna get my adrenaline going, but it does. Can't happen. You do? Brian's saying, I do. I tell my adrenaline to get going there. Okay, so often people who are engaged in entertainment, they're looking at something with their eyes, they're hearing something with their ears, they're thinking, most of us are thinking about something in our minds. we're responding emotionally. We feed desires, and we expend time, all of us, and often we're spending money in our entertainment choices. And so the reason for bringing this list up is to then get us in a position to ask the question, well, if the Bible doesn't explicitly address how you should do entertainment, but it does speak to these things, then where does the Bible talk to us about what we should be doing with our eyes, for instance, or our ears, or our mouths, or how we feed our desires? So just quickly then, let's look at a few verses there. I've listed them in your notes. What's a common theme in these verses? Just quickly, what are you running into? I think I bolded some stuff in your notes there. Okay, what people are doing with their eyes, okay? And what else is connected to that? What are they seeing?
Your heart.
Say it again.
I think your eyes are connected to your heart.
Your eyes are connected to your heart? Okay, good. Right? You want to expound on that a little bit more? Like, what do you mean? What's the connection?
What you consume through your eyes can affect your heart attitude or what you, your desires and what you
okay.
pleasure in.
Yeah. So eyes are connected to our heart and are connected to desires, right? So interestingly, Eve saw that the tree was good for knowledge and delightful, right? A pleasure to look at. David is out on his palace wall or ceiling or roof or whatever, and he looks out and he looks with his eyes and he sees a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful, right? So there's a connection between what we see and what our hearts desire. So Jesus would say that if you even look at a woman with lustful intent, you have committed adultery with her, right? John talks about the desires, or some translations would say the lust of the eyes, right? So our eyes are not just these neutral, taking information things, okay? Our eyes, we look to things and we desire them. In fact, we often look at the things that we desire. And in looking at those things, we feed desires, and we spend money on what those things, we conceive of what I would like to have that I don't have in those things that I'm seeing. Whether it's a bigger house or a car or a different job or more money or a better sex life or whatever it is, we're our eyes have huge implications about what's going on in our heart and mind based upon the choices we make on what we're going to look at. Right? Now, I would argue that has implications for our entertainment choices. And so we need to be thinking about what does the Bible call us to, expect of us, challenge us with regard to what are we doing with our eyes? And then apply that to the question of, okay, God, what's going to honor you with the decisions that I make with entertainment, whether it's a movie or a video game or whatever else. All right, we're going to stop there. Next week, we're going to pick up again, and we're going to be asking the question or looking at how we view the world and how that relates to our entertainment choices. So let me pray for us, and we'll be done. Well, God, I pray that you are stirring in our hearts and minds what it might be for us to walk in glorious freedom, enjoying those things that are pleasing in your sight, and yet not loving those things that you find deplorable. And knowing, God, how to live in our screen-saturated, entertainment-oriented cultures, how to live in a way that demonstrates that you are good and glorious. So continue that work in us, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.